And now, Ben Bailey.
Hebrews 4 verse 12 gives us one of the first of four incentives to make sure we make it to this promised rest. Jesus makes us makes a greater rest available, and God gives us incentives to get into that rest. Look in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The first incentive is the all-sufficient Word of God. The Bible says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Friend, if I'm going to make it to heaven, if I'm going to make it to that promised land of rest, I've got to realize the power, the all-sufficiency of God's Word to get me there. I cannot be saved without the Word of God. Romans 1:16, the gospel is God's power unto salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We're told in James 1:21 to receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save our soul. 1 Peter 1 verses 23 through 25 teaches us that it is the Word of God that we're born again by. And so the Word of God has a powerful place in the salvation of man. The Word of God also has a powerful place in our staying saved. Psalm 119 verse 105, the Bible says, God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. The Bible teaches us that it's that light that in a world of darkness shines light on everything that's good and holy. It is that light that teaches us and shows us the right way, the way to heaven itself. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, God's Word was found, and I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It's the Word of God that gives us real joy in this life. Friend, did you know the Bible is the only book we have from God, and it's the only book that will get us to God? 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verses 19 through 21, that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The psalmist said in the long ago in Psalm 119, 160, the entirety of God's Word is truth. And Jesus placed a premium on truth in John 8, verse 32, when He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are we really living our life by the Scripture? It is that incentive which will help each one of us get to heaven. Now, here's the application that goes along with that. If I'm going to receive the incentive to get to heaven, then I've got to take the Word of Life, read it, do something with it, and live it out in my daily life. There is a great need for people today, for men and women, for themselves, to study the Bible. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. We're to be ready always to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within us. 1 Peter 3, and verse 15. We're to be like those in Berea who searched the Scriptures daily to see if what they were taught was true. And so we need to study the Word of God for it to be our incentive, but we also need to live it and teach it to others. I love the example of Ezra. In Ezra 7, verse 10, the Bible says, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach its statutes and commandments in all Israel. We need more people like Ezra, who will not only know what God says, but will follow that knowledge up by getting out and living it. Philippians 4 and verse 9, Paul said, the things which you heard and learned, received and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And so are we really living our life by the all-powerful Word of God? Then there's a second incentive for us to make sure we get to that promised land of rest, and it is the all-seeing eye of God. Look at Hebrews 4 and verse 13. And the Bible says, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, But all things are open and naked, or naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we must give an account. An incentive that can either offer us fear to help us be brought back to God, or encouragement to stay on the right path, is the all-seeing eye of God. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil." Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12, illustrates in graphic language how that God sees and knows all. If I go into the highest heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, You're there. No matter where we go, in the depths of the sea, behind the biggest, darkest rock you can imagine, there You are. There is God. You see, friend, God sees and knows all things, and He cares for each one of us. Now, this can be an incentive in one of two ways. If you're a child of God and you're not living the way you ought to, then the fact that God knows and sees all things ought to encourage you to get your life right. On the day of judgment, you're going to give account of that. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing. We're going to give an account for the deeds we've done in this body, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, and one day we're all going to stand before the eyes of God. All things are open and naked before the eyes of Him with whom we must give an account. And so if I'm not living right, that ought to encourage me. Hey, God sees and God knows, and I need to get my life right. But if I am, did you know the fact that if I'm living right, the fact that God sees and knows is still a powerful incentive? If I'm living right, God knows that I'm trying, and He cares. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. He cares for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. If I'm living right and I'm facing challenges and difficulties and trials, God sees and God knows that. And He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. And so either way that we look at it, the all-seeing eye of God ought to be an incentive for me to make it to that heavenly rest. But then there's a third incentive, and this is such a powerful one. We have the perfect example of Jesus Christ to follow. Look at Hebrews 4 and verse 15. The Bible says this concerning our Savior: "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin." Friend, the very fact that God knows how I'm suffering, that God knows what I'm facing, that Jesus came to this earth, lived like a man, died like a man, faced the same temptations we do, probably some as extreme or more than us, Matthew chapter 4, is an encouragement. The perfect example of Jesus offers great help. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. That tells me that Jesus knows what I go through. Jesus knows what it means to be tempted by the devil. Jesus knows what it means to have people not like you. Jesus knows what it means to stand up for the truth and still be mocked and beaten for that. Jesus knows what it means to live every day for God, and He knows the struggles and trials that we face. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 and 22 tells us that we're to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, who committed no guile, nor was sin or deceit found in His mouth. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. He was the perfect example, and as such, He is that shining example for me to follow. In Matthew 5, verse 16, the Bible says we're to let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. How do Christians let their light shine? By following Jesus, the light, John 8, verse 12. If we look to His light for light, then we truly are a good example, a shining light to the world around us. And so, no matter what I face, no matter what difficulties there are, look to Jesus for your help. Remember Hebrews 2, verse 18? The Bible says, "Since Jesus suffered, He's able to aid those who are tempted." There is help. Look to Jesus, look to the Word of God, and you can find encouragement to live and do as you ought to. But then there's one more incentive in Hebrews chapter 4, and that is the power and privilege of prayer. I want you to notice Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Notice this encouraging verse. The Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can approach God's throne boldly. In the old law, this was a stark contrast. No one approached the throne of God. Once a year, they went through the Holy of Holies, through the priest. And the priest had a relationship with God in that sense, in the closeness, but only once a year. But now, Christians can approach the throne of God with boldness, that we may find grace and mercy to help in time of need. What's the writer talking about here? Friends, this is the power and privilege of prayer to help us stay on the straight and narrow path. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought to pray always and never lose heart. Do you ever get discouraged? Does life ever get you down? Sometimes do you wonder, is it even worth it? Should I just throw in the towel and give up? In moments like these, Jesus said men ought to pray always and never lose heart. In fact, the Bible teaches that there ought never to be a time when we are not praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we are to pray without ceasing. And in so doing, we realize that prayer has powerful results. James 5:16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it overcomes much. Prayer has the power to help us overcome in this life. I know such is the case, for we find the example of Daniel. Daniel faced great trouble. He was told that if you don't worship the graven image or the image that's been made, you're going to be cast in the lion's den. When they blew the trumpet, Daniel knew everybody was supposed to bow to that image. And it says in Daniel 6, verse 10, as was his custom from early days, Daniel prayed thrice that day with his windows open toward Jerusalem. Daniel defied the king's edict because he knew of the power to pray to God and to worship Him. You know, Jesus knew the importance of prayer. Mark 1, verse 35, the Bible says of Jesus in the morning, a great while before daylight, He departed, went to a solitary place, and there prayed. How did Jesus every day face the trials and the difficulties and the disappointment He had? He started every day by having a great relationship with God through prayer. And Jesus tells us we can do the same thing. Jesus said, whatever you ask in My name, that I will do. Matthew 21, verse 22. If it's according to the will of God, 1 John 5, verses 13 through 16, we know that Christians will receive those things. And so, friend, the lesson for us is, Christ is greater than Moses. Our faith must be greater than the faith of those who followed Moses. Christ is greater than Joshua. And friend, the hope and the relationship that we have with Jesus gives us a greater rest than they had under Joshua. Have you taken part in that rest? If not, you can do so by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing His name before men, and being baptized in water, just as they did in Acts 2, verse 38. But if as a Christian you've got off the straight and narrow, why not let these passages encourage you to get your life right? We see that they, because of unbelief, did not enter in. Don't let that be said of you. Today, obey the gospel of Christ and live faithful to the Supreme One, Jesus Christ.